I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Serious Issues, a weekly comic book podcast that is recorded now every single Monday afternoon live at King's Comics in Sydney, 403 George Street.
Wow, I nailed it.
I remembered it.
Good job.
Twice in a row.
Very impressive.
My name's Andrew Levins.
My name is Siobhan Coombs.
And every week we read all of the comics, so you don't have to. Never read a word again, thanks to your good friends, Levins and Siobhan.
Phew, this is the best way to consume comic books, 100% for sure.
Just take our opinions of these books as bond and continue on with your lives, never reading another thing again.
But definitely buy them.
Just, yeah, of course, obviously
buy
support
them and
your
then
locals
put them in a fire. No, don't do it.
Buy them and hoard them.
Yeah,
people
yeah, yeah.
Like potential partners, romantic partners, love hoarders.
Absolutely.
And hoarders are in.
And if anything, the speculator market is really good for comics, so you should just buy them and put them in a box and never look at them again.
But listen to us tell you which ones we liked and did not like.
Yes, please.
Which is what we do every single week on Serious Issues, and I'm going to cut the usual back and forth informalities that we normally begin each show with, because I know that the entire world is just, like, you know...
Gagging.
Yep.
Sorry.
The entire world has been talking about a certain Batawang.
That's probably the best one, right?
Yeah.
Batawang. I mean, probably the best one.
It doesn't beat the classic Bat Dong, of
no,
course.
No, of course.
Everyone's been talking about it. And, of course, no one of all the many, many articles that I read about Batman's penis in the last week, not one person thought to consult who I regard as the leader in a team of experts of comic book dongs.
Yeah, thank you.
Siobhan Coombs.
I was really offended. I was really offended not to be asked,
yeah, of
frankly.
Course.
I really thought I would have been consulted beforehand.
Absolutely.
You know what's really funny is that we've had a unlettered copy of this in the back room at King's for like 3 months, and we're all like, oh yeah, that looks cool, and just flick through it, and none of us noticed the wang. None of us noticed. Hilarious.
So we're talking, of course, about the newest or the first ever book on DC's Black Label.
Ooh, that, black, like for adults.
The Sean Murphy Batman book is like posthumously.
Oh, really?
Posthumously?
Yep.
Thank you. You've got to correct me when I fuck
sorry,
words up,
because
it happens a lot. has been that they've kind of gone back and changed history so that it's now a DC Black. But
right.
This is the first new series under the DC Black label, which is comics are for adults now, guys.
Yes. All right, guys. Comics aren't for kids anymore.
And so this new comic is called Batman Damned. It's written by Brian Azzarello with art by Lee Bermejo, who the two of them teamed up for two books, two graphic novels through DC, back when graphic novels were for adults.
Mm.
Before comics were for adults, but graphic novels were for adults. And
they're only for tweens.
Joker and Luther.
Yeah.
Batman Damned is, would you believe it, it's the first ever book to show us a dark side of Batman. do we want to talk about the plot or just skip straight to the dong?
Let's do a mini plot recap, because I really liked this.
Okay, cool.
Regardless of dong.
I did not
oh,
at
really?
All. Yeah,
how come?
Cool.
Okay, I love this creative team. I love the, like, I love Lee Bermejo. I think that's my key thing. I really think his art is, like, super gorgeous, really beautifully painted. It's, like, static for sure, but it looks amazing.
Okay, for me, I mean, this is entirely personal taste. I think the craft in this, like, you know, it was well written, except for Constantine, I thought was written terribly.
He was barely in it.
He was
except
the fucking
narrator.
What are you talking
about? True. maybe that's telling that I didn't even, like, connect that with Constantine, really.
Yeah. But and obviously, yeah, Bermejo's art's really good. Not my like painted style's not really my kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. But of all the ones to do it, he's one of my like more preferred artists in that realm. For me, it's just like I hate that like every single like time. It's like, oh no, this is a dark version of Batman. Oh, we're doing a new Batman story, but this is a dark version of Batman. Like this week in the regular Batman book, a Batman who is like still like unstable after being left at the altar by his true love, his best friend got shot in the head.
Yes.
Why do we need a darker Batman book than that? I don't understand.
Also, I wouldn't say that Nightwing was his best friend. I would say it was his like adoptive son. But continue.
Who went on to become his best friend. I adopt my best friend.
You and Angus?
Yeah, I find, Angus is your son. Yeah, I find the victims of trapeze accidents. Killings,
and then I adopt them, and then I make them my best friend. That's how I find friends. As an adult, it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many examples of like DC going like, okay, let's do a dark version.
Yeah, I know, it's super goofy, but out of it, we got Batman's penis, so that's something, right? I quite like this.
Even his penis is dark because in the shadows.
I'll say, how dare you? How dare you try and sell this as like the first look at Batman's penis, and we just see the shadow of it? How very dare you?
They've announced. That they're like from all future printings of this, this is going to become like one of the more valuable comics of the year.
I know,
which is stupid. But hey, if you're a hoarder, which is in right now,
sorry if you're a speculator, but I hate.
No, I don't. It's fine. We made a joke about it, encouraging it a little, but it is the worst kind of comic book reader.
It really is.
Because they don't read them.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like all future printings are not going to feature the dong anymore. Which is so weird.
What's the point? What's the point of having this be a... Like, has there been a massive outcry against the dong? As far as I can tell, it's just been pro-dong.
Yeah, 100% pro-dong.
So I don't really understand what the big hoo-ha is.
Where's this big hoo-ha? Yeah. What do you think of the size of Batman's hoo-ha?
I have my personal opinions about what I think it should be like.
Yep.
For me, not quite big enough.
Okay.
Not quite irregular enough.
Oh,
you know
right.
what I mean? It's like... I've always thought, this is hard because we're on the shop floor, but I've always thought, guys, that it would be intimidatingly large, but like there's got to be something wrong with it.
Okay,
there's got to be something wrong with it. So like really bent, a little bit shriveled, a little bit like gray, you know?
Two urethras.
Like he's been kicked in the
penis. How does that work?
Five balls. He's been kicked so many times that something's got to be like not 100% right, you know?
Yeah, sure. Surely. Yeah.
Anyway, so I thought it was too perfect.
Right. Perfect. Perfect silhouette of a dong.
Those are my notes. Those are my notes. Bermejo, feel free to take them.
Hey, we actually said silhouette of a dong last week, and that's exactly what we get from Batman this week,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. With future tellers.
Yeah.
That's what they're called. But I thought this was like, it was definitely moody. It was like...
Yes, we haven't actually done our plot recap.
Yeah, what happens in it?
Exactly. It's like, so Batman gets the shit kicked out of him and falls off a bridge. He's all fucked up. And then when he comes to, he learns that the Joker has died and his body has been found on the same bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's like, did I kill the Joker?
Killed the Joker?
No.
Who knows? Constantine is his kind of like unreliable narrator, kind of guiding him through this mystery that he has to solve. And we get flashbacks to Bruce Wayne throughout his life seeing a literal demon.
Seeing a spooky girl.
Like straight out of like The Ring or something like that.
Yeah, like a little spooky girl with a hat on.
And also his dad, Thomas Wayne.
Yeah, his dad was doing it with another
infidelity,
lady.
Infidelity, everybody.
What's more black label than infidelity?
So I don't know. Why can't we get it? Yeah.
I know. Why can't we have like a happy-go-lucky Batman who just solves crimes about puppies?
I don't know. I just like, there are ways to do like adult themes,
but see,
without
rather,
being dark.
I rather this sort of like adult themes darkness than what Tom King does, which is like punch you in the face with some darkness in the middle of a fucking Mr. Miracle story. You know what I mean?
More on that later. I'm curious. I've loved a lot of Azzarello things in the past. His 100 Bullets is one of my favorite runs of all time. And I loved his... Even, like, you know, a lot of people shit on what he's done recently, but they forget that his Wonder Woman run during New 52 was, like, one of the best things of New 52.
And, like, the Batman story in Flashpoint. That was pretty dark, that was pretty genius.
Yeah. But this just felt, to me, like not very... inspiring at all. Like
I loved it, guys. You guys, loved it? I loved it.
All right. I'll give it another shot for a second issue.
I also like the format. It's like in bigger pages. I think it looks gorgeous. I think the like tone of it is really, it's like spooky Gotham detective shit. Plus Constantine. Great. I love it.
Azzarello wrote Constantine during Hellblazer's run. He was the first American to write the character.
And it didn't go well.
He did not understand the character at all, and I don't think he does. He does a little bit better now, but I still don't think he... So he just needs a British person to, like, check certain sentences with.
Yeah, my key thing is, like, I always see their collaborations as, like, Lee Bermejo books more than Azzarello books. And my main critique would be, I think that the lettering is a little bit intrusive on some panels.
Sure.
But other than that, I enjoyed it a lot.
It has a lot of our favorite kind of like dark universe characters, is what you would call it, the mystical side of DC.
Oh, yep.
So you've got Zatanna in
yes,
here.
Yes, please.
Dead Man, I thought, was used quite well in this.
And I liked that design where he's like all muscle. Cool.
Yes. The Spectre shows up, very weird version of the Spectre.
I didn't even connect that was the Spectre.
Yeah. So yeah, there are some interesting ideas in here, I guess. Maybe they'll connect with me in the second issue.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I just, I would have rathered more penis.
Yeah, same. I would love it if in the second issue there was way more dong. And they were like, yeah, no, second printings of that have no dongs as well. Ha ha ha.
I guess that's Batman Damned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure most people just know of this as the Dick comic. And it's not the only Dick comic this week.
Really?
Well, I mean, as in like a comic with Dick, Batman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Grayson.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, no, good.
But it is the only dong watch for the week, I think.
I think so.
Unfortunately.
There have been dong watch.
Better dong watches. One day we'll do a best dong watches in
cool.
comics.
I'd like that.
Really? Okay, sure. All right, we'll do it. Over to, and by the way, get used to me complaining about comics for the next, at least the first like half of this episode.
Let's do it.
Number ones can be brutal. And
yeah.
This week, packed a few punches. So over to Marvel right now, we have a few number ones. Including The Return of Wolverine, which featured
Finally. Which
featured 30 variant covers of just Wolverine wearing various outfits.
But not my favorite outfit.
No, what's that?
Cowboy boots, cowboy hat, underpants, nothing else.
Okay, good. Of course. Return of Wolverine, written by Charles Soule, with art by Steve McNiven.
Love Steve McNiven. What could go wrong?
A lot of things.
Yes.
Specifically hair. This is the worst.
No, but I like it. I like the idea that like Wolverine's hair just keeps growing in that formation. Like it's just massive.
It's
now
so
most
insane.
Of his head.
Look at
Come
his
on.
Head.
I love that.
It is bizarre.
I love that. You're wrong if you don't like that. That's what Wolverine is about.
Where's his head?
He's been dead for ages, but his hair kept growing. He's got really long toenails as well.
He has more plumage than Beast.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good, everyone.
This one's been inked by Jay Leeston and colors by Laura Martin. After years of Wolverine being dead, he's finally back, except his memories are wiped. Stop me if you've heard this
Classic
before.
Classic Wolverine.
He wakes up covered in blood. He's killed everybody, and a dying scientist... begs him to remember who he once was, that he was a hero.
Yeah.
And so this is about Wolverine trying to get his memories back and save the day while he gets flashes of... Basically, they stole something from Siceberry's excellent... what was the X-Men Legacy run, which was all about...
Yep. Big hair.
Big hair guy. David Hellier. Legion.
Yep.
Legion. And in that, he used, like, because Legion has all these multiple personalities, he keeps them locked up in his head as, like, a jail cell. And so Wolverine has done the same. So all of his memories are represented by various, either versions of himself. So Weapon X is locked away.
Probably Weapon X. Nude Wolverine. Sorry, that's my favorite.
Okay, sure.
Wolverine
nude, don't watch. basically, different mutants represent different parts of his personality. And so he slowly unlocks different ones throughout this issue. That part of it is interesting. The actual bare bones plot of what this return series is just feels just like, I feel like I've read it
just
before.
Just bring him back and like it does not matter what bullshit reason you come up with that he is back from the dead. It doesn't matter. No one cares. This is not going to be a classic. Just bring him back.
They,
you know, Death of Superman style.
Yeah, but they already brought him back in that like pretty good Marvel Legacy one shot last year.
Yeah,
there's Nandu just suddenly back, and
he's
like,
just back.
Put a, can of beer in an ice giant.
Yes, exactly.
Great
he's
stuff.
Got really long hair now, really big hair. More
it gets bigger
more.
And bigger, like as the issue progresses. Like
I know from by panel the end, panel. By the final panel, you're like, whoa,
that is the most ridiculous picture.
What you don't see is the off panel.
What would
he's
you
been
do
like
if you
blow
saw
drying it,
that
and, like
that.
Teasing it. I would marry them. That is exactly what I would do.
All right. Gentlemen, you
know
what to
do. I'll ever get married.
That's Return of Wolverine. Again, another one that I didn't like, but I'm still going to keep reading because I'm an idiot.
I have
a suck
to.
Of a punishment.
Yeah, I'll probably keep reading it. Marvel, but I like Steve McNiven, so
yeah,
I'm
sure.
Down.
Marvel also gave us three other number ones this week. Two were annuals, and the other was the first of the Infinity Warps. Infinity Warps. We're getting, I think this is a two-parter of like these... they're not quite Elseworlds. They're not quite What Ifs. Basically,
they're not quite amalgams.
In Infinity Wars, the universe has been folded onto itself, and so characters have merged with other characters. And so the first one we get is Soldier Supreme, which is the mashup of Doctor Strange and Captain America. This was a hilariously quick-moving, recap of the history of this character. And then we're kind of presented with we have Wong and Bucky have kind of been merged as well.
Red Skull and Dormammu.
Yeah.
I didn't like this. This isn't for me. This felt like lazy and boring.
The thing is, like, I thought it was fine, but when you compare it to like Jerry Duggan, who wrote this, he's done other like weird fun mashup worlds. Like he did that excellent 1872 miniseries during Secret Wars.
Which
is like the Western setting Marvel characters one. That was great.
And
I was
kind
of like, oh, maybe he can, you know, knock this one out of the park too. I didn't dislike it. It was just fine. It doesn't need to exist, but if this is something that appeals to you in any way, like, you won't be that disappointed. It's just it's exactly what you would expect from this kind of thing.
And art really, is by Adam Kubert, and I'm not the biggest Adam Kubert.
He's the Kubert I prefer.
My preferred Kubert, but I'd still prefer Joe.
And good colors by Matthew Wilson too. I'll read the second one of this, but you don't even need to. You can do it with like one eye open.
Yeah,
multitasking.
I found this like semi-exhausting how many characters they tried to fit in of like, look, and then it's these two guys together, like Nick Fury and Dum Dum Dugan and stuff, and you're just like, come on.
What do you gain from mashing those two guys up?
You lose an eye. You gain a mustache.
Great. So speaking of Captain America, we got the Captain America annual this week, which has been written by Teenie Howard, with art by Chris Sprouse. And,
is it the first time a woman's written Captain America?
Possibly. Penciled by Ron Lim, with inks by Carl Story, Walden Wong, and Scott Hanna, and colors by Jesus Abertov, Eric Arciniega, and Israel Silva. A big team working on this. It's certainly Teenie Howard's first time writing not just Captain America, but also a Marvel comic. This is her first one ever, and she pitched it. Basically, it is about...
it's a World War II era Captain America comic about him saving some people from Nazis.
Yeah, and it's linked to Teenie Howard's ancestors. She's descended from European Romanians who lived in the areas of Germany, Austria, and what was then called Czechoslovakia. And when she pitched this, she learned that the artist, Christopher Sprouse, that his wife is of the same lineage as well. And it's a really it's a really sweet World War II set Captain America story. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It certainly doesn't reinvent, the story in any way, but there was something just kind of nice. You can read a familiar feeling story and it either kind of like there's a nostalgia that, and as you reminisce, I guess, as you
for
read
sure.
it, or you can be like, oh, I fucking read this before, which is how I felt during the Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly.
And Batman Damned this week. But
I really liked, this is very much like more character driven thing. And I like that there were some like really great moments with these different people who were all targeted by the Nazis for various reasons. And I thought it was handled really well, and it was engaging, and it was action packed. I thought this was a really solid annual.
Yeah, and it wasn't just like the Nazis are bad, let's continue. It was like, these are some of the reasons the Nazis are bad.
In case you need reasons, friends. In case you weren't aware.
A great depiction of Captain America within this annual. It's cool.
Hopefully
Teenie Howard gets some more Marvel work out of this.
Yeah,
I enjoyed her take on it.
I like them testing out different creators on these annuals. I think that's a good call.
But for me, this just felt like a classic Captain America comic, whereas normally when you get a new writer to it feels like, oh, what are they trying to do with it here? Like okay, I'm going to do my like slightly different take on this very well-loved Captain America story.
Like that time Captain America was a werewolf. That could have lasted for longer.
The first or the second time it happened?
Recently? I guess that was the second time.
When Sam Wilson was
I liked that.
Amazing Spider-Man got an annual this week, written by...
Saladin Ahmed, our good bro.
Yeah.
I don't know why I decided he's my friend. He's my friend now.
Gary Brown on art and Lee Lowridge on colors. Saladin Ahmed tweeted an amazing response to a lot of online hate he got after being a Muslim writer.
How dare you be writing Spider-Man? Brown?
Sorry, maybe he's a brown writer. Sorry if I'm adding words that I shouldn't. But yeah, this is a really, really fun Spider-Man book about
Venom. Venom story set in the past when Venom was first bonded with Spidey in the black suit days
after the first Secret Wars event.
Yep.
Yeah, and again, like, you know, treading familiar territory, but he really brought something new to this. This is basically suggested that while I didn't read Spider-Man comics at the time, so maybe this happened, but while Spider-Man was sleeping, the symbiote suit took over his body and took him out to fight crime because he wanted
to... But in a much more vicious style than Spidey normally would.
Yeah, and in this one, he finds a friend in a young guy who's been caught up in a crime world, mm-hmm. and saves his life, and kind of the boy becomes his moral compass. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, and I like the perspective of Venom being like, ah, cool, Spider-Man's my friend. And him, like, Venom having to go through the process of being like, oh, okay, my friend needs to sleep. All right, I'll stop taking him out at night. But that's the point where Spidey's like, oh, no, get him off me. So he's like, why is my friend rejecting me?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to punish him. I liked it.
It was really, really fun. Really,
really
fun.
Gorgeous art, too.
Yeah, and incredible art by Gary Brown, who I don't think I've seen do much superhero comics before. It reminded me a lot of the Sean Phillips Marvel Zombies stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I really liked it. He's a good choice for a Venom book.
Yeah.
So hopefully we see Ahmed and Brown doing more Spidey stuff in the future.
I hope so.
Over to IDW now for a book that I didn't even realize was coming out until last week. And it is a Dick Tracy book. Of course, the famous kind of pulpy strip comic book hero that was famously like one of the first comic book movies in the late 80s. Warren Beatty played Dick Tracy.
Madonna's in it.
Yeah. And it's a stinker.
Yeah.
An absolute turkey. And bombed at the old box office and all that. Dick Tracy, people still love this, or at least know what this character looks like in their head forever.
It's iconic.
Yeah. And the creative team on this is, it's been written by Lee and Michael Ored. And we have pencils by Rich Tomasso.
Yep. He's been posting sketches of his, like, pencils for a really long time, so I've been, like, very hyped for this.
Yeah. Of course, Rich Tomasso, if you're listening to the show, you know that we've been huge fans of everything we've read from him in, like, the last 2 years, including Spy Seal and...
Dry County
and the other ones. She-Wolf.
She-Wolf.
Yeah. Great stuff. And inked by Michael Ored and colors by Laura Ored. So it's like a Ored family affair with Rich Tomasso along for the ride.
Their new foster son, Rich Tomasso.
Or maybe his parents died in a trapeze accident.
We can
and
only
they adopted
hope.
Him as their best friend. These things happen all the time. So this is a new book called Dick Tracy, Dead or Alive. It is not really doing that much different in the way of story. If you've read a Dick Tracy strip, this doesn't stray too far from
reinventing the wheel. It's more of like a homage.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you've read much of Lee and Michael Ored's writing, especially like Madman and that kind of stuff, you'll know that that's the kind of writing they write. Like this very harkening back to Golden and Silver Age, where all characters kind of like say what they're thinking as they do it. And sometimes I can find it quite exhausting, like that the Young Animal series they did, the Bug. Forager Bug series, I found that really exhausting.
Yeah.
This I just found an absolute treat.
So fun. And I love the like semi, hard to say when it's set because everyone has like mobile phones, but also he's still using like a Tommy gun.
Yeah.
I love it.
That was so great. It's like, it feels like it's set in the past, except they have mobile phones. I think that's like the only thing.
But
only
they still also do executions.
Yes. Capital punishment still exists. So yeah, basically like, Dick Tracy stops one of his like main villains at the beginning of this was his name Big Boy, and then he and the police watch as Big Boy is put to death via electrocution, something a bit weird happens when it all goes down, and it looks like this is going to be like almost like a gauntlet of each week Dick Tracy's going to have to take down one of his kind of like classic villains.
I hope so.
It's really quirky and fun, and Rich Tomasso's art, like, it really pops with the colors that Mike has given him. It looks like a Mike Oliver book and a Rich Tomaso book.
Yeah,
it's killer. It's such a great combo, and I hope this is like the first of many collaborations between the two of them, because I don't know what it is about the art together, but it makes the kind of throwback.
It gives his
writing a lot more digestible for me.
Yeah. Tomaso's, like, having Aura do the inks gives a bit more, like, depth and, like, weight, I think, to Tomaso's pencils. And I think it just looks gorgeous.
Yeah. I love all the character designs. Like, Tomaso gets really weird with some of them.
Yep.
And I can't wait to see where this book goes.
And they seem to be having so much fun with his nose.
Yes, this is like my fun surprise. Definitely my favorite number one issue of the week.
Easy.
Although I found a very surprising enjoyment in a book called Burnout this week. This came out through Image. It was written by Dennis Culver with art by Jeffo. That's his name.
That's so good.
Jeffo.
Jeffo. And spelled like G-E-O, like the weird Jeff.
G-E-O.
Gioffo. Goffo.
So Burnouts is a book about
about drugs, guys.
Yeah, but it's seen through the eyes of a teenager at high school who is, you know, always on the good path, and his like limited interactions with the burnouts at his school, the rebel kids who get fucked up all day and get in trouble with their teachers and the police outside of school. At a house party that he sneaks out of home to go and attend, our very straight hero is passed a joint for the first time in his life. And
he takes some marijuana, guys.
When he takes one marijuana, he is able to see aliens.
Yeah.
And as he's losing his mind over this discovery, the burnouts from his school show up and start beating the shit out of the people who are taken over by these aliens. And we learn that the reason that they are burnouts is so they can, like, save the world, basically.
Yeah. The aliens only showed up like a week ago, so I think before that they were just burnouts for the sake of being a sweet burnout. I really enjoyed this way more than I thought. I thought this was going to be lame, but then it was like classic teen movie plus alien sci-fi.
Yeah.
Great, good fun.
Really, really fun. So yeah, our hero gets home at the end of the issue, and his parents. Not only are they busting him for getting out of the house to sticking up to this party, but they're also
Now they're aliens too.
Yes, inhabited by aliens.
I was going to say, like, the cover is not as good as the interiors. The cover's by Chris Burnham. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's on all the covers for these. Yeah, it's
weirdly coloured or something.
Just weirdly structured as well.
Yeah.
A surprisingly good book. Did you read Impossible Incorporated this week?
No.
It's through IDW.
I just couldn't be bothered. I looked at it and I went, I can't be bothered.
It's written by J.M. DeMatteis.
Yep.
Who has done
Loads of shit.
Like a lot of DC stuff that we liked back in the day.
Yep.
Art is by someone who I'm not as familiar with, Mike Cavallaro.
Mm-hmm,
And I read this because of the art. It looks so, I don't know what it reminded me of. I guess like Derek Charm by way of like a lot of my favorite Cartoon Network properties.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And basically this is a young adult superhero book in which like the equivalent of a Reed Richards father type is experimenting with like time travel. And he goes on a voyage that he never returns from.
Okay.
And so his daughter is now the hero of this book. She still works at Impossible Incorporated. This book basically culminates in her best friend, and an elderly figure using the same thing that her father used 11 years ago to go and try and find him. Because none of them can let go of the idea of getting her father back.
Hmm.
And there are definitely parts of this that were overwritten. It has a it's narrated all the way throughout by the main character. You could, and I started doing this, you don't need to read her narration, and the book reads fine as a comic without that. So hopefully we lose the narration altogether in future issues. But as a young reader, maybe you need that extra writing to kind of better grasp. I definitely think, no matter what you say, it was still fairly overwritten. But I thought the story and indeed the art was super charming. I might give this another issue or two.
Cool.
It's called Impossible Incorporated. And if you're looking for a good way to introduce a teenager into kind of indie comics, I guess, this is a good way to get him into it. Over to Aftershock now, and we get a book called
Patience, Conviction, Revenge.
Is that what it's actually called?
That's what it's called, yeah.
Yeah, fuck, wow, okay, sure. This is written by Patrick Kindlin and Marco Ferrari. They're the co-creator, writer, and artist. He's a car. It's drawn by a car. With colors by Patrizia Camino. I've enjoyed a lot of Aftershock books lately, and I was like, oh, cool, this one might be good. And it's like a cyberpunk Western.
Yeah.
And that should appeal to me, I guess. Robot Cowboys?
Yeah, Robot Cowboys. I sort of enjoyed this, but it was pretty overwritten.
Again, yeah.
And the like reveal at the end wasn't that cool or worth it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think it was the genre is more appealing to me than this book.
Yeah, totally.
So I still want
someone
Westerns,
to make this, but make it better.
Yeah. So, and look, the problem with first issues and the fact that we read all of them is that it is hard to get in the like frame of mind to go, okay, shit, there's going to be a lot more exposition in this issue than the rest of the books that I'm already on board for reading because I'm, you know, 10 issues deep in this series or whatever. But, you know, who knows? Maybe this is a series that does get better with each issue. But as a first issue, it wasn't enough to win me over as a reader.
There are a couple of jokes that they just, like, hammered into the ground. Yeah. And I was like, ugh.
The slang and humor I wasn't a fan of. Finally, last number one is one from another imprint that I've been a big fan of in the past. And so I was looking forward to this. Berger Books, Karen Berger's Dark Horse imprint, which has given us great books that we reviewed last week, like She Could Fly.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that I really liked last week. Whatever. There's been some good books. Olivia Twist is written by Darren Strauss with Adam Dalva. And then we have Emma Viacelli on art with Lee Lowridge showing up again as colorist. The art is wonderful. But this is a...
What if Oliver Twist had a vagina?
No, it's like not just like gender swapped Oliver Twist. It is a dystopian future.
Oh, God.
Olivia Twist.
Okay.
It was exhausting.
Yeah.
That said, Oliver has never been a story that really appealed to me. I like Oliver and Company, the Disney movie that no one else likes with the cats, and one of the voices is Billy Joel. I think he's the voice of a dog.
That does sound bad.
It was one of the first movies I saw with my parents, and it's one of those ones that I will never let anyone tell me it's
not
good.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Cheech and Chong, the voices. It's extremely of its time. Unfortunately, Olivia Twist, not as good as Oliver and Company.
Yeah. What a glowing recommendation.
Siobhan, okay. That is it for the number ones.
Wait, I did remember the thing. Hang on one second.
Siobhan has remembered the thing, and of course the thing refers to the dice that was very lovingly given to us by Brad Love, because every episode at this moment, we roll a dice to figure out if we should review Marvel, DC, or Image next. And thankfully, the use of a very magical three-sided die allows us to do exactly that. Before we roll that die, though, which Siobhan is trying to find out the back in the new King's Comics offices, I want to let you know that if you want to argue with us about any of the new series, maybe you were a big fan of The Damned and want to tell me that I'm politely incorrect, sir. Actually, can you be politely correct? Politely tell me I'm incorrect. You can do so at
politefully?
Facebook. Politefully. Yep, that's a word. Facebook.com/groups/Serious Issues Podcast is the official Serious Issues group where you'll be able to find thousands of comic book readers just like you.
A few cute things that have happened because of the group this week. You DJed at someone's wedding.
That's very true.
And someone else from the group was the photographer.
That's very true.
And then also, two people met up at a convention in the UK.
At Thought Bubble. And one of them bought you a Keanu Reeves t-shirt.
I'm so fucking excited. Thank you, Rebecca. You're a legend.
Yeah, so a lot of magical things happen in the Serious Issues comic book group. And if you're a fan of the show, you should be a member of the group too. It's facebook.com/groups/Serious Issues Podcast. Siobhan, please roll the dice.
Absolutely.
It's been a while since you've rolled it.
I know.
You just hand it to me.
Marvel.
Marvel first.
Then DC.
Then DC, then Image. Then Image. Oh, it's a classic big two than the other one. pretty good week for Marvel.
Yeah.
Let's start with Earth's Mightiest Heroes, The Avengers, number 8. This is Jason Aaron's run, which got off to an extremely slow start. I will go as far to say that I disliked the first 6 issues of this run. It was a really, really boring kind of like getting the team together for a celestial bullshit reason.
Yeah.
But... you know what? They achieved their goal of getting the team together.
Team's together.
The team is together. This had excellent art by David Marquez and colors by Justin Ponsor.
I didn't read this.
You didn't read this?
Nah.
Oh, you would fucking really dig this. So,
not really.
The Avengers' new base now. No more Avengers Mansion. They now live in the North Pole in a hollowed out dead celestial.
That's pretty fun.
Which has been kitted out by Wakanda's greatest architects.
Great.
Because the team is now... Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, She-Hulk, Black Panther and Captain Marvel, with Doctor Strange being an on-again, off-again.
Great.
And Ghost Rider as well, Robbie Reyes, Ghost Rider.
Great.
There's a great, great scene in which Robbie Reyes is talking to his brother Gabe. I know you're a big fan of Gabe.
I love Gabe.
And that interaction was really sweet.
Aww.
And this was just like, yeah, like they you know, Loki's like, oh, the whole reason that I was evil was just to get you guys together. Ha, 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 ha. And I was just like, you know.
Hawkeye's like, okay, we forgive you, Loki.
No, he disappears before they can beat the shit out of him again. But it's really fun. Like, Thor and She-Hulk are like an item now.
Cool.
And She-Hulk has, like, she may be more powerful than Bruce now because of weird new gamma radiation affecting her. So it was really great. It was just, like, instead of it being, like, you know, point the Avengers at this big bad thing that's happening in the world, it was like, let's have a fun, like, you know...
Like a character issue.
All the characters hanging out in their new digs.
Yes.
And, like, you know, talking to each other. Captain Marvel, like, throws Tony Stark through a room after he hits
on
her.
Yes,
like,
please.
Just, like, really fun interactions. And then... in the last pages, a ship is boarded in the Southern Ocean by Atlanteans because they're in their waters, and the Atlanteans are killed by the Earth people, humans, you might call them, on the ship, and they are about to face the wrath of none other than an incredibly good-looking
like
a really badass. He's wearing pants, but don't hold that against him.
Yeah, I do.
But he's not wearing a shirt. Like, he's gone to great lengths to wear
shoulder pads, but no shirt.
And sleeves, but no shirt.
His nipples are the secret to his powers.
So, yeah, it looks like the first kind of, like, proper, like, battle that Avengers is going to be up against Namor.
Ah, but that's so classic.
So, yeah, it was a really, really good issue. I think you should definitely just
burn
through this one before this week's comics come out.
Okay.
And jump back on this series again, because now that they've done the boring setup, it's a really, really good
now
read.
It's time.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the jump on.
Really enjoyed this. But let's keep things Avengery with West Coast Avengers, written by Kelly Thompson, with art by Stefano Caselli, and colors by Triona Farrell. This is the team led by Kate Bishop, a.k.a. Hawkeye, also featuring Clint Barton, a.k.a. Hawkeye, Gwenpool, America Chavez, Kid Omega, and Fuse, Kate's boyfriend, who can make himself... the different materials, including bricks.
He's like the Absorbing Man, but without a big ball and chain.
Yeah. You should get a big ball and chain.
Get married, am I right, guys?
In the first issue, they were... that's a really good one.
Thanks.
Sorry, I didn't want to go unrecognized. In the first issue, they had to go up against a giant version of Tigra.
Yep.
Who was one of the founding members of the West Coast Avengers. And they came face-to-face with Brodok, who everyone realizes is just MODOK, but BRODOK stands for Bio-Robotic Organism Designed Overwhelmingly for Kissing.
Great.
And, yeah, basically this is them kind of like figuring out if they can trust this weird BRODOK, what he's doing.
Mostly just trying to figure out what he's up to so that they can stop it.
Yeah, and just like the other issue of Avengers was like a more character-driven issue, so was this one. As we see various team-ups happen, we see a great hookup between Gwenpool and Quentin Quire.
That was really good. That was funny. I liked it.
And I love straight away it wasn't just like a random kiss. It was like he throws her up against the wall and she puts her leg up.
Yeah,
I was just like, yeah, go on and get it.
Oh, my God. Everyone's just like, oh, no, this is the worst.
This is really, really sweet.
Yeah, it's really good.
Kelly Thompson has a good grasp of all these characters. I'm not crazy about the... reality TV talking heads to camera stuff that happens throughout.
No, but I think I'm okay with it. I don't like love it, but I think it's working fine for the moment.
I just don't think it's necessary. I think all the characters kind of break the fourth wall.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely tacked on.
Yeah.
I don't really see the direct point of it at this moment.
I think it's to show why they're getting money to be a team.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. That's a good enough reason for me.
But yeah, it looks like Giant Tigra is going to be joined by a lot of other giant, potentially old West Coast Avengers members in the next issue. This is fun.
I'm into it.
I'm into it too. Kelly Thompson also wrote Mr. and Mrs. X issue number 3, which had art by Oscar Bazaldúa and colors by Frank D'Amato. And this is, of course, the book of a newly married Rogue and Gambit.
Mm-hmm.
They're in space. They were protecting an egg, and then someone that looks like Rogue hatched out of the egg.
Yep, but a little girl Rogue, like a baby Rogue.
Yeah, and then basically we learn that she is the daughter of Alandra of the Shi'ar and Professor X.
Yep.
And that's why she's important to both the Shi'ar and also mutants.
And also why she can do shape-shifty things to make herself look like Rogue.
And so it's up to Gambit and Rogue to kind of save her from bad Shi'ars.
Mm.
But along the way, we get a really great fight scene of Deadpool and Gambit over the course of two big splash pages fighting their way through waves of Shi'ar agents.
Yep.
Again, like just like West Coast Avengers, it's just fun. Kelly Thompson gets these characters and gets what fun situations it would be to put them in, and it's a really enjoyable read.
Absolutely, 100% agree. Hard to fault it. It's really good fun, and I love the Shi'ar's big silly hats.
Yeah, like I think if you're not already fans of the characters, maybe that's the only reason you would not like this. Like.
But you know, I do think that this would be very accessible to new readers because it's just a fun, lighthearted romance romp through space.
Well, I will admit, when I was getting into comics, and I used to always try and read X-Men comics, I'd be like, "Cool, I'm getting a grasp around this whole mutant thing," and the Shi'ar would show up, and I'd be like, "What the fuck is this?" So,
yeah, totally. You're like, "Why can Professor X stand? Why is he in love with this bird lady? What's going on?" yeah, totally. Look, if you've ever wanted to get into X-Men, but you don't know where to start, and you're coming along to Oz Comic Con this weekend, we're going to be doing a panel on Sunday afternoon talking about it.
It's about X-Men.
Yeah, well, no, it's not about X-Men, but it's about getting into comics, and we'll give you a couple of like sweet jumping on points for different characters, stuff like that.
Of course, that is because both you and me, you especially, how many panels are you doing?
I am on 5 panels.
Fucking hell.
And I'm moderating 2.
Okay, I'm on 2 panels, and you're moderating both of them.
I'm moderating both of them. Thanks for being on them.
Do you want to go through as many of them as you can, or are you just going to...
Let me find my schedule.
I've not cleared attending with my family yet, but I...
Check. It'll be fine. We'll be fine. So I'm doing how anime and manga have taken over the mainstream at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Community and Comics, presented by Queens of Kings, on 12 p.m. Saturday. And then Sunday, are comics and manga the same at 11 a.m., breaking into the comics industry at 12 p.m., and getting into comics at 2 p.m.
Cool. I think I'm on...
You're on the community and comics, which is on the Saturday.
Okay.
And then the getting into comics, which is on Sunday.
Want to hear me talk about Facebook admining?
Yes. That is literally why I want you on, to talk about online comics communities.
Okay, cool.
It'll be good fun.
Yeah. Sweet. Awesome. Is that this Saturday and Sunday in Sydney at Oz Comic Con? If you're there, come and say hello.
Yeah, please.
Siobhan's going to have temporary tattoos with our faces on them.
Absolutely.
Which she is funding now.
But I'm just going to be drawing them on you in Sharpie.
Yeah, perfect. Temporary.
Yeah.
Oh, you're reading Venom now.
I guess. Or... you know what? I opened up the front page and I went, no.
Why didn't you skip forward to the second or third?
I know,
look at that double page spread.
Yeah, that is great. That is great. That's one of my all-time favorite comic book sound.
Cracker Boom.
Yeah.
Donnie Cates writes Venom now with art by Ryan Stegman, doing the book he was born to draw.
Yeah, come on.
We are inks by J.P. Mayer
colors Stegman.
By Frank Martin. And Venom... It's like
goofy, weird Venom space dragons or something.
It's the best. I didn't know I wanted this, but I really want more of it now. It's so silly and great.
Man, that is gorgeous.
Yeah, I think like this is like a big. I had fun reading a lot of my regular superhero books this week, and Venom in particular. Like, I've never really been attached to the character of Venom, except for when Rick Remender did the Agent Venom series. But I'm really, really enjoying this take on not just Venom, but like the history of the symbiote. Is it biote or biote?
I don't know.
You told me I was wrong.
Yeah, I know. Now I can't remember what I
symbiote?
Say. Symbiote. Whatever.
Symbiotic, I guess you would say. So yeah. Symbiote? Okay, yeah. Symbiote. And so basically, like, yeah, we've learned that the symbiote comes from, like, this, like, dragon god in space who has come to Earth, and it's up to Venom and two symbiotes to team up. Not Venom, Eddie Brock. Eddie Brock and two symbiotes to team up to try and take this dragon down. And
is one of the symbiotes called Rex?
Yes,
he's the new one.
The first symbiote to come to Earth.
Okay.
Yeah, it ends with a pretty shocking finale. I don't know if any symbiotes exist anymore now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Donny Cates is pretty good at doing these big game changing moments, and then
he loves it.
And you're like, what is he going to do with this? And then you're like, oh, that's exactly what he's going to do with this.
Yeah,
great,
that's crazy.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I can't believe you did that.
Venom. It's a really, really fun read.
Cool.
Thor, Jason Aaron back for this one.
And Christian Ward.
Woo. Yeah, so good. I love when Christian Ward shows up for a Thor issue. This is issue number 5. Again, I wasn't a massive fan of the first arc of this returning series of Thor, the first 4 issues when they were in Hell. So it was just not as fun as the series has been in the past.
Yeah.
But when you give me a flashback to Thor and Wolverine...
flash forward.
Well, first we get a flashback of them just drinking in a pub.
Yep, great.
Remembering all of their, like, comparing their greatest drinking stories.
Their favorite pubs.
I could read issues upon issues of that. And then we sit forward to the future, untold eons from now, and King Thor is face-to-face with a Wolverine who has been taken over by the Phoenix. He's bonded with the Phoenix, and so he is known as... there's a great description. This is a more fun...
Old Man Phoenix.
Yeah, Old Man Phoenix, he gets called at one point, but he also gets called something Berserker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's super fun.
My only thing is, I feel like it's the new thing to be like, this character is the last one to exist at the end of time. No, this one.
It's a dumb trope, but it's a fun trope.
I'm fine with it.
The Cosmic Berserker.
The only problem is because I read all of them, so I'm like, how can they all exist at the end of time together? That's dumb.
There's different timelines.
True. But I love bringing Thor's granddaughters back into it.
Yep.
Yes, please. Fing-fang-foom shows up.
And what Doom. A comic. I guess Doom is going to show up now.
Yeah.
He's like the most powerful
crazy
version of Doom,
Doom
ever.
The Fist of Iron, the Star Brand Supreme, and the Master of Mystic Vengeance. Yes.
So good.
That's great.
Kneel before his omnipotence and despair.
I'm into it.
So this is exactly what I want from this series again. Hooray.
Hooray. Hooray.
Edge of Spider-Geddon. Just quickly, we got another one-shot set within this kind of like... set up for the Spider-Geddon event later on, which gives us a spoiler for the Spider-Geddon event itself, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, at one point, there's a Sea Spider-Geddon, issue number 3, when he's talking about something. So this sees one of the main characters return after the events of Spider-Geddon, I guess. Whatever, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, it's in there. But this has been written by Jason Latour with amazing art by Tonchi Zonjic. Tonchi Zonjic.
What a gorgeous issue.
And Bram Revel with colors by Tonchi and Ian Herring. And this is, Spider Ben and Spider Pete. Basically, after getting spider powers, Pete.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Parker, who I think is Spanish or Hispanic in this world, they're all like otherworldly Spider-Mans.
Mm-hmm.
But he after Uncle Ben is shot, Spider-Man gives him a blood transfusion. So now Uncle Ben has spider powers too. And this is a very kind of all over the place time-wise.
We're jumping
back and forth.
It's not very linear.
Not very linear at all. But we see basically like various adventures that Spider-Pete and Spider-Man go on.
Yeah.
And does it suggest that Spider-Pete's dead or that he's just stopped being Spider-Man at the end?
I think he's dead. I think he's dead at
the
end.
So possibly he dies in Spider-Geddon.
Or at the very least, he's lost faith in Uncle Ben, which is like being dead.
Yeah, very true. But this was, yeah, definitely the most unique of the three Spider-Geddon issues that we've seen so far.
Very melancholy.
Yeah.
Very Jason Latour.
And the structure of it was also very nonlinear, like most of Jason Latour's written things too.
I like him. He's so me good. Too.
This was really, really great. It's cool that this can exist alongside a mostly like by the numbers kind of spider event setup.
I like the spider events probably more than like any other event.
Yeah.
In the Marvel Universe, yeah, I think fun. At the moment, they're good. They're like weirdly contained, but still expansive. They're fun and creative. And I'd much rather see these like original different versions of Spider-Man than a million amalgamated. I'm Doctor Strange and Captain America. Dumb yep. jerks.
Sure.
So I read The Life of Captain Marvel, issue 3, which is written by Margaret Stoll. There's like a billion different artists on it. Pencils in the present day by Carlos Pacheco. Inks by Rafael Fonteras and colors by Marcio Menes, and then Marguerite Savage does the flashbacks in this issue, because this is about Captain Marvel going back to her roots, going back to her family in Maine or Rhode Island or somewhere where everyone has funny accents and rekindling a romance with her childhood guy or something, and her brother had a brain injury, but now he's fine, guys. And she's dealing with the fact that her dad appeared to have some letters to a secret lady. And so her dad may have been cheating on her mum. Whoa, that's life-changing.
Because so much of her backstory ties into how much she loved her dead father, right?
Or like her dad was abusive and she didn't like him or
yep,
something.
Yep, that's probably it.
Different.
Very easy to confuse.
I get those two confused all the time. And so Captain Marvel's been staying with her family and not doing Captain Marvel business. And now they're like, you need to go and be a superhero again. But now it turns out that something crazy... Now the Captain Marvel business has come to find her with her family, and her mum might be from space.
Okay.
Which I'm like, I hate all this retroactive, like, oh, actually... Your mum was a spy. Actually, your mum was a spy from space.
That was the funniest thing about the, mostly hilarious Amazing Spider-Man 2 movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, like Peter Parker's parents were actually like weird spies that had an underground railroad.
But that's from comics.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, that's where like...
Main continuity?
Yeah.
Or? Really?
Yeah.
I haven't read that
like
shit.
His sister.
Oh, that stuff.
That's in the same thing. That's like your parents were weird spies, Petey.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Don't correct me.
But anyway, it's so hilarious, the reveal that goes nowhere in the movie.
Yeah, I know.
Because they never met another one. So great.
Yeah, not great. Anyway, I do like this book. I think Margaret Stoll is actually like giving some character to a character that I don't care that much about. But I could do without the like, it turns out your mom's from space angle. Whatever.
So I actually really enjoyed Captain Marvel within... the Avengers issue this week, even more so in the Immortal Hulk issue number 6, written by Al Ewing with art by Lee Garbett and colors by Paul Mounts. This has been what started as a kind of like freak of the week horror book has now been kind of Bruce Banner, living off the grid, coming to terms with the monster within him, but in a way that feels new.
Yep, absolutely.
The Hulk is treated as like this horror that lives within Bruce, and he's kind of been unleashing it to create vengeance.
Yeah, to solve gamma crimes.
Yeah, that's
mostly
right, gamma crimes.
But there was some like Al Ewing he's coming from some angles which I'm like, oh, like as someone who hasn't read that many Hulk comics, I'm like, this is the Hulk comic that I always wanted to read. Like there are all these moments where he's like, oh, I've always known that the Hulk is smarter than me because he works on like instinct and hunches and like gut, and he's not led by his brain. He's led by his, I just thought that was cool.
By his bat dong.
By his bat dong. It's massive, massive. It's in the shape of a Batman.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
with little wings.
Oh, great.
It comes out when he's scared. Anyway, sorry.
Hopefully not a, who does the really pointy eared?
Kelly Jones.
Kelly Jones. That's why he's angry.
I'd be angry too.
Tucking that away.
I just thought this was, I think this is so good. I think Al Ewing is like, just killing it.
Yeah, so I was not expecting, this much of the main Marvel universe to kind of cross over with this book so quickly, but it's done in such an amazing way. Basically, the character of Sasquatch, the last two issues were about a fight between him and Bruce Banner, aka the Hulk, and the Hulk basically took on Sasquatch and all of his gamma powers, so now Sasquatch is just Leonard, boring old Leonard.
Walter. close.
They're the same name.
Basically the same name.
If you are a Leonard, you're also a Walter. Happy birthday. of course, Sasquatch is a member of Alpha Force.
Alpha Flight.
Alpha Flight. If you're in Alpha Flight, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You're also in Alpha Force.
It's our team. That's our new team.
There may as well be a fucking Alpha Force team. I'm sure there is.
Absolutely. X-Force/Alpha Flight. Bam.
Because he's a member of Alpha Flight. Captain Marvel basically receives like word from
Puck.
General Ross's team. General Ross, Thaddeus Ross. It's great. The story is so convoluted, but makes so much sense. General Ross, his second in command, is now taking over the kind of like trying to catch the Hulk once and for all mission.
Yeah.
And he basically tells Alpha Flight, either you guys band together and take down the Hulk and bring him to me, or you have to hand over Sasquatch. And we're going to execute him. And so they're like, Alpha Flight isn't powerful enough to take down the Hulk. And Captain Marvel goes, no, but my other team is. And so then we see this brilliant like moment of Bruce Banner trying to hitchhike in Iowa, and then suddenly intercepted by the Avengers team led by Captain Marvel. Basically said, like, you know, to set the Hulk free, Bruce Banner has to die. That's just not going to happen, Bruce. And then Bruce says, but that's my secret, Captain. I'm already dead.
Yeah, come on.
That was so rad.
Come on.
And it's just a great, you know, referencing the movies in a really cool way.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely. Yeah,
that was fucking great. Amazing
this
ending.
This is so good, guys.
You should be reading this book.
Everyone should be. This is the best Hulk has been in, like, years.
And apparently it's selling really well, which is
really well.
Yeah,
good
to know.
Good, I'm glad.
So that is it for Marvel this week.
With DC.
To DC. We began this episode by talking about Batman's dick. Now let's talk about Batman's other dick.
Dick Grayson.
Hi, children.
That Batman, was a well-timed.
Batman number 55 came out this week, written by Tom King, with art by Tony Daniel. And
Tony Daniel's getting better.
Yeah, definitely. You normally use a not appeal to me at all, but this is actually pretty good.
It's a very classic feeling.
This also had inks by Danny Mikey, colors by Timon Morey. And in this one, we see a dude fly into Gotham, but Gotham City, you get a passport stamp. I guess Gotham City is a country now.
Yes.
Wouldn't it just say America?
I don't know.
But
he says, welcome to America, welcome to Gotham. So he must be from out of America.
Well,
a non-American
the passport stamp says Immigration Service Visitor Gotham City.
That's true.
That doesn't happen.
I have some problems with your immigration policy.
I reject comics forever now.
research, Tom King.
This man who has a metal arm checks into a hotel and starts, he goes off and he buys an incredibly powerful sniper rifle. Meanwhile, Dick Grayson, aka Nightwing, has moved back into Wayne Manor to help his poor friend Batman, who is
just cheer him up a little bit.
And he does so by being like classic quippy.
Goofy, is this classic
Dick.
Quippy Dick?
Look, we've established that Tom King's jokes aren't funny, but he's
great.
Trying.
He is trying. He's giving it a red hot.
I'm never going to deny you that his jokes aren't funny. Yeah. But Bruce is starting to smile again.
Yeah.
They're on the rooftop and next to the bat signal, and all of a sudden, poofed. I was going to say crack, but it's actually the sound effect is poofed. And we see a massive hole in Dick Grayson's head. He's been shot in the head.
He's definitely dead forever, guys. Yep. R.I.P.
This is it. He's never
Speculators,
died before.
Speculators, buy this issue now.
He'll never die again.
Because he's gone forever.
And what do you know? Batman just pulls his dick out. It goes, who needs you?
What? And the weirdest thing is that his dick was already dressed like Nightwing.
Yeah, that's right.
In a little outfit.
Classic outfit with the disco collar and everything.
Yes! Sorry.
We just found Sean's kink, everybody.
Oh, God. I'm trying to be better. Whatever.
Give Tom King some notes.
Whatever. What was the point of this? Tell me what the point
of
this was.
The point is, it's like a mostly good comic up until the point he gets shot in the head.
Mostly good? It was like...
Possible.
Average at best. It was barely fun. Jokes weren't funny. If the jokes were funny,
and it's not really a story.
Yes, exactly.
Ever since you mentioned that a while ago.
It's just a bunch of stuff happens and then he gets shot in the head in the end.
Yeah. There's not really plots to these issues. It's like a bunch of like, do you get it? Conversations.
And then someone on the radio says what the comic is about. It's about loss.
Tom King also wrote Mr. Miracle issue number 11 this week alongside his artist Mitch Gerrards.
Okay, so Wayne keeps telling me that I have to read it, and he was like, you have to read this issue, which I was like, well, now I'm definitely not reading
this
it.
This was the best issue in a long time of this series, okay, until the very end.
Okay.
So basically this is like a Meet the Grandparents issue, except okay, the grandfather in this instance is Darkseid. And it was really amusing because you do have the kind of like mundane, like making sure they've got everything as they run out the door. And there's another crudita plate.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
You remember earlier on in the series where they have all the you know, carrot sticks and dip that they're bringing to a very serious meeting. So to go meet Darkseid, Mr. Miracle and Big Barter and their new kid, bring a table of crudita, topped up vegetables and dips, which we have 9 panels of Darkseid slowly eating. Which I like. That's the kind of shit that I really enjoyed early on. Even though you were like, "What's the point of this?" I'm like, "No, just give me more of it. Eat more vegetables."
Yeah.
Show these. I want to see how these superheroes get their fiber. And so basically, just like
Darkseid eat Earth food. Anyway, continue.
Does it matter?
It's fine.
You'd give it a crack.
I have some real problems.
So the kind of it's almost like that loop because isn't it's like Orion. Who is the actual father of Mr. Miracle? And then he was traded to be raised by Darkseid?
High Father,
right. So just like that, basically, Darkseid's suggesting that they give him their child in the same way that he was given to Darkseid.
I hope they say no.
And well, they do say yes at first, and then they trick him. Look, spoilers if you're not reading this, skip ahead a moment. But they end up killing Darkseid. But then it's a big ruse, and it looks like this whole series has been a trap for Mr. Miracle to not be able to escape from. Started by, I won't reveal who it's all been masterminded by, but someone who we thought was Desaad.
Can you show me?
Oh, well, I'll just tell you. I wasn't going to reveal it to you. It's Metron.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel about this because it's like revealed that he's been taken from one world to be in this world, and maybe all 11 of these issues so far haven't actually happened, and maybe he doesn't actually have a son.
It was all a dream, guys.
So I don't know how I feel about that, but who knows? Maybe this last issue it won't be what I'm expecting to happen.
Yeah.
I will be kind of shitty if all of this didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because I like the idea of them tricking Darkseid out and keeping their son and this now being... You know,
no, they can't have a happy ending. It's a Tom King comic.
Who knows? I don't know. There
are. It was all a dream, but the only bit of the dream that was real was the baby. But now the baby's dead.
Great, cool, dead babies. It was a good issue, except I'm worried about the last issue.
Okay.
It was like it reminded me of why I liked the series to begin with, which is I felt like it's lost its way in a way.
Yeah.
In the last few issues, Injustice 2 issue number 34, Tom Taylor. With art by Daniel Sampere and Bruno Redondo, inks by Juan Albarrán.
Bruno Redondo.
This is almost the finale of this just joyous, fun celebration of every single facet of the DC universe.
Yep.
I very rarely say the word underrated, but I really think this is underrated. I think this is.
But you know, it's not underrated because it's the best-selling DC comic.
What?
Because it is, it sells so well on digital.
Oh, right.
That's why DC are like...
Then why would they stop
love
it?
Tom King so much. Tom Taylor. I sort of hope it's because they're pushing him onto other things, but I don't know.
He just be allowed to do this, make his own world. Because he did that Earth 1 book too.
Which one?
Earth 2? Or
Earth 2? Did he write Earth 2?
He wrote the one with Nicola Scott.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. So he's good at doing these like reimaginations of DC stuff.
Anyway, he's been doing a great job with this.
Yeah, so basically Alfred, after meeting with Batman's estranged daughter, which mm-hmm. is just in this continuity.
So is this just like Damien's a girl in this or is
no,
it
no,
another
Damien
character?
No, Damien exists too. Another character, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
I think same cloning experiment.
Okay. Yeah, definitely like they reference that Talia is...
It's Talia and Batman's daughter.
Okay.
This
was the first time in Injustice that I've been like, oh, I feel a little bit like there was some stuff in this that happened like I felt a little bit lost.
Yeah, well, you only picked it up like 5 issues ago.
And yeah, so there was definitely...
This has been going, this is like 100 issues.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, I don't know. But yeah. Like, that's amazing. This is the first time that I've been like, oh, I don't know what's going on in this.
Yeah, well, I think it's because you have a pretty good knowledge of who everyone is.
Yeah.
That's all you really need. But yeah, basically, Alfred convinces Batman and Ra's al Ghul to meet and sort out their differences
mm-hmm.
once and for all. And they do so in Atlantis. And
the lost city of Atlanta.
Of course. Of course, a fight breaks out. But hilariously, it is stopped by Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn because Tom Taylor writes the best Harley Quinn.
He really does.
Like, she's such a good character when he writes her.
She's smart and funny.
Yeah, like really, really good jokes. And just you really like her as a character.
Yeah.
Which is something I very rarely say.
You know what else?
I think Nicholas Scott would do a good... not Nicholas Scott, sorry.
Gail
Simone would do a really good Harley Quinn,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. She has written a good Harley at various times in, like, Birds of Prey and stuff like
sure.
that. I like how much Tom Taylor embraces the monkey side of the DC Universe. We've got them all in this issue. We got Gorilla Grodd. We got Ultra Humanite. I love it.
There have been so many ape issues. It's been awesome.
So good.
Yeah. As Brainiac slowly makes his way towards Earth, we have Ra's al Ghul and his team and Batman and his team agreeing to a 1 week ceasefire as they work out the differences. It's cool.
It's great.
It's really interesting and fun, and it's just fun. This is like, Injustice 2 is a book that makes me feel like I do when I read most of my favorite Marvel books.
Yep.
And it's a feeling that I don't have when I read a lot of DC books. And I hate that now I will not have this anymore because this book has like 2 issues left.
Yeah, that is sad. But just whatever Tom Taylor does next.
Yeah, totally.
I'll be there.
Although I got those feelings this week also from another DC book, and that is The Wildstorm.
Yes, please.
Being written by Warren Ellis with art by John Davis Hunt with Brian Buccellato. This has been like Warren Ellis kind of introducing a new take on the Wildstorm universe, and we meet the characters in a different order to what we initially met them over the course of the many series in mm-hmm. the early to mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
So you have various characters from... I can't remember any of
them. Gen 13.
And the Authority.
Wildstorm.
But we haven't actually met that many characters from the Authority yet.
Yeah.
But
whoever the Gen 13's parents are.
Yeah, this issue ended with the most fantastic reveal. Like there were some good final cliffhangers this week. Most of them came through
even
Dark Horse.
I didn't get that.
You didn't even realize who they were?
Until I just looked at that final panel. And
yeah.
And I was like, oh.
It's no, like those two characters are my favorite two characters from The Authority. And they're like some of the few Wildstorm characters that were actually treated well in the New 52. I was wondering if they were even going to show up in the Wildstorm. And here they are.
They motherfucking did, everyone.
It's very exciting.
This has been such a masterclass on like pacing. Pacing a 24-issue run.
Yep.
He has just killed it.
And John Davis Hunt's art has been remarkably consistent the whole way through. Yeah, it's inconsistent in that it gets better and better.
Yeah, which is crazy.
But, you know, it tackles so many, like, it's like sci-fi, aliens, like conspiracy,
tech.
Government.
Yeah, all of Warren Ellis' favorite things.
Yeah,
secret societies.
But it's also a surprisingly human comic at times, too.
Great character moments.
Yeah.
He spends time with each of them.
And the two characters introduced at the end of this issue mean so much more fun human moments coming to this world. Very exciting. Real cool
really
stuff.
Really good.
So interesting to see that you have Pearl issue 2 in front of you, considering you didn't read issue 1.
I know.
To be honest,
I thought this was a different one.
This is written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by Michael Gaydos.
But I'm a Bendis fan now, guys.
Yeah. She's canonically a Bendis fan.
Yep.
I don't know why I like saying... As soon as you say anything, my immediate reaction is to say canonically.
Because it's a word that pretty much only exists in like comic book fandom and like the Catholic Church. So you just don't get enough chance to say it.
Very true. So this is like a Yakuza comic, basically. A girl whose family was owned by the Yakuza only falls deeper and deeper into owing, having to use her skills to pay off her debt to the Yakuza. The first issue I did not like. This second issue I really liked.
I loved this issue. This was so good. She's like a cool tattoo artist for the Yakuza, but who also happens to be mysteriously really good at killing. Great. Perfect. I love it. And then it's also a romance with a rival Yakuza gang. Yes. Great.
Yeah. This was like...
Gorgeous illustrations.
It was great as we delved into her history. I'm really glad I stuck through with it because I did not like the first issue.
I loved all the scenes of her tattooing bananas.
So yeah, we can definitely add Pearl to the decent Bendis comics coming out right now.
What's a bad Bendis comic that's coming out now?
I didn't like Scarlet.
I did.
No, you I can go play the tape.
Yeah, sure.
You definitely disliked it more than I did.
Probably. I have no memory.
So those are our DC reviews. So good ones in there this week. And yeah. We go over to Image now. We're starting with an issue of Paper Girls, issue number 24.
We can't tell you what's going on.
How the fuck do you even describe what happens?
But man, they've tied up some good stuff that, like, I'm a big dum-dum, and so I'm sure if you, like, went back and reread all of Paper Girls in one go, you'd be like, oh, well, obviously that's that person and that's that person. But there were a lot of moments in this where I was like, oh!
Yeah, so this is a big, crazy time travel series, and we've met various characters throughout the ages.
Yeah.
As our four heroes travel through time. And, this one basically confirmed that... Two characters are the grown up future versions of someone. Two characters we met long in the past.
Yeah.
And I didn't pick that either.
And there's so many like Frank Avalon is another one of those guys who is really revolutionary in like the subtle way that he puts things into his characters and like how well rounded his characters are. So like an older lady has a bit of dementia.
Mm.
That's great. Good job.
Except the older lady is someone who they're relying on to tell them what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
And frequently she'll just suddenly stop and be like, who are you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just what a good issue.
Great issue. Cliff Chang doing the best.
Doing the best he can. Cliff Chang.
And I love Matt Wilson's colors on this too. His color palette for Paper Girls is so unique and cool. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Even no matter what timeline they're in, it still feels 80s.
Yep. Absolutely.
Which is really, really talented. Talenting. Yeah. Cool new word for you, everybody. Try and use it in a sentence this week. Another comic that took me by surprise this week was Skyward, issue number 6.
God, so good.
This is the comic that's written by Joe Henderson with art by Lee Garbett, Antonio Favella on colors. And this book is basically about what if the gravity got turned off and how would our society continue?
And how would the world look different?
Yeah, and... that in itself brings so many incredible plot opportunities. And on the front cover of this issue, giant dragonflies.
Mm-hmm,
and I was like, oh, surely that's just like, you know, the camera is really close to the dragonflies and really far away from our main character who's floating in the middle of them. Nope.
Giant dragonflies.
In a gravityless world, the dragonflies get gigantic. And,
and they'll eat you.
They'll fucking eat you good.
Yeah.
And just not what I was expecting to get from this book.
Absolutely.
But like a really welcome, like, what the fuck surprise.
Yeah, this is now like a cool adventure comic with this girl going out to discover what the world looks like now outside of her protected cities. Awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah, unreal.
I loved it.
Cool. All right. Ice Cream Man. Ready to get sad, everybody.
Yeah.
This was a glum, but beautiful book.
As always.
This is the best, right?
Like, it's so
you're so
good,
stupid
man.
If you don't read this.
You're so dumb.
Ice Cream Man, written by W. Maxwell Prince, who is writing the next Marvel Zombies book. So I just saw in solicitation today.
Okay. I mean,
this is a horror comic, but hopefully that means we get like a
really melancholy
and
Marvel
weird
Zombies.
Marvel Zombies comic. That'd be awesome. Art by Martin Marazzo, who follows us on Twitter.
Ah, thanks, Martin.
Shouts, Martin. You probably don't also listen,
probably.
But you are like. One of my top five artists of the year so far.
Absolutely.
You're the best. Chris O'Halloran doing great color work as well. Ice Cream Man is like a series of one and dones with this vague, slowly making sense backstory, like connecting story involving
a spooky Ice Cream Man
and a cowboy.
Yes,
it's so good.
Come on, it's so
but
good.
we get these. It's like an anthology series, and everyone it's almost like a Twilight Zone esque kind of tale of woe.
Yeah.
And this one we meet a girl whose best friend has died of cancer, but she can still see her friend and her parents.
And her parents are like, is it schizophrenia? Is she just grieving?
And it's, you know, it must be it's understandably frustrating for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't understand what they're talking about. She runs away into the night one night.
Finds a path of sprinkles.
With her imaginary friend. And then which leads her to the Ice Cream Man, who has peeled the skin off someone in a cabin in the woods.
Lovely.
I don't want to spoil what happens, but it is like...
But it involves cowboys.
This fucking cowboy character showing up again. And it's like this battle between the Ice Cream Man and the cowboy, which is just... wonderful. But then the whole story and all these stories, they either exist as this like kind of like morose tale that kind of like is just like the first few are like really, really needlessly grim,
yeah,
but in like a darkly funny way. There was a lot of black humor to them.
Yeah.
This was devoid of black humor.
This was just
but actually had a
sad, sad, sad.
But it was a sweet ending, I thought.
Yeah.
Weirdly beautiful ending.
Absolutely. It's just about grieving.
Yeah.
The grieving process, guys, and how sometimes life isn't fair. Oh, God, this got me.
This is one of the best issues of the week, for sure.
It's just such a good flipping comic book.
Yep.
Everyone should be reading it.
I'm really 100%. I hope this all gets collected in a big hardcover.
I assume it will.
I want to see these this art as big as possible.
Absolutely.
You got a few more that I didn't read.
Yeah, yeah. So I read Death or Glory, issue 5, which is Rick Remender and Bengal. And this is the lady who's good at driving cars, who lives outside of normal society, and she's trying to get a liver for her dad, who needs a new liver, but then don't have social security, so they can't go to the hospital, and so she has to raid her evil drug dealer ex-boyfriend's black market
keep going
place where they sell organs to get a new liver for her dad, and she's brought with her a dude who's trying to rescue his niece from sex slavery. Just your average, typical Rick Remender comic. But man, look how nice the art is.
Yeah,
I really like Bengal. And the colors are like really gorgeous. It's like this really intensely gritty, like Disney cartoon.
Cool.
What if Disney just cartoons were about the black market kidneys and
Bambi's,
stuff like that?
Bambi's father cheated on Bambi's mother. And we see Bambi's dick in the silhouettes.
Perfect. That's my perfect comic. Anyway, I really think this is great. It's very like fast-paced, and it's some good Remender shit.
Awesome.
I like it. I also read Stella, issue 4 by Joseph Keating with Brett Blevins.
So you're still reading this?
Yeah, I like it. It's okay. Like a good alternate universe superhero sci-fi thing.
Okay.
It kind of reminds me of like Astro City vibes. As someone who's never read Astro City.
You read one issue.
But it's such, like, it's so gorgeously illustrated, and they're sort of feeding information, like world building to you so slowly that every little bit that you get, you're like, ooh, tell me more. And Brett Blevins is so flipping good.
Yeah. For someone who sounds like it's like what I give
my name, fake name.
My name as to cops when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be like Blandrew Blevins.
Yeah. Nate always gives Mitch's name.
Oh, that's so funny. Fuck.
Anyway, I love this. I think it's great.
Almost as great as that fact. Last one.
Aphrodite 5 by Brian Hill, Jeff Spokes.
I feel like Aphrodite makes this show, like, shows up on every episode.
I know. There's a buttload of Aphrodite comics at the moment, but this is like Warren Ellis Light, I would say, but with cool, super inky. Who does it remind me of? I can't think of their name. The guy who did Seven Soldiers of Victory. Some of the, like, the Zatanna cover.
Ryan Sook?
Yeah, Ryan Sook vibes. And it's cool, like, espionage, big business, capitalism, blah, 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 tech industry, blah, 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 superheroes. Lick at this lady's brain explode.
Oh, cool.
It's great.
You like exploding brains? Maybe you'll like this one.
Absolutely.
Finally, we both read Flavor, issue number 5, written by Joseph Keating, with Wook Jin Clark on art. And
Tamara Bombion on colors.
Oh yeah, of course, very important. And also, got to give a massive shout out to Ali Buzari, who is their food consultant.
Yep.
On this book, because this book is all about food, and Ali gives their guide to a doomsday pantry, which I think is actually the most helpful back matter I've ever seen in a comic book.
100%. This is basically how I live my life.
Yeah, it's really, really clever. And it was just like, for me, it was just like, oh, cool, I already do all this. I'm the best. But basically,
I'm so smart and good at cooking.
If you are someone that has not clicked how to have the things in your cupboard that allow you to cook a meal all the time. And like, these are also like, these always lead to good meals.
Yes.
Basically, it's a guide. You need sour things. You need oily things. You need dry bulk things. You need crispy things. You need eggy things, pickly things, spicy things, umami things, and fragrant things. Wow. Wayne. For someone that we complain about so often on this podcast, he does a lot of good stuff for us.
I know.
He just made an amazing now recording Serious Issues podcast. That's actually the first cartoon version of me that kind of looks like me.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It does not look like you, though.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You can't get my wonky eyes properly. And
wonky eyes. How are they wonky?
Okay. I have one eye that's like quite a bit smaller than the other, but it really only shows up in photos. That's true.
Okay,
that's true. Let's photograph extremely badly.
Bring
a
ruler. But anyway, she gives
much hotter in person.
Ali Buzari gives a guide to like, you know, how to combine these different things in your
bowl or in a taco.
This is just one page of the comic. The back matter. The actual comic
it's not
itself
even the comic.
Was one of the best issues so far. I was a bit like confused after the end of last issue, but this definitely brought me up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's this heightened world where food rules all, and you need licenses to cook particular things. The daughter of a sick mother and father who run
a
restaurant
creep stall.
And then are struggling is being entered semi against her will into a cooking competition by her brother. Who has who has spent all of the family's money to get her entry into this prestigious cooking event.
Oh, it's so good,
it's really
guys.
Good.
It's gorgeous.
The personalities of all the characters is great, and Wook Jin Clark's art is so cool.
Even just like the background characters. Like, I hope we get to see every single person who's in this final page because they all look super fleshed out and interesting.
Yeah, all the other contestants for this upcoming food. Oh, man, we're going to get a food contest like arc.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yes, we are.
Oh, what was that great Battle Chef?
Oh, yeah, that one that you really liked. That kids comic from Boombox?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called.
You thought it was something funny. Chief
Battle
something
Chief, Battle Chef Brianna.
Brianna, yeah.
Yep. Battle Chef Brianna, was it that one?
Yeah.
No, that's a different one.
Oh.
There's one where it's like they're in space. It's called like Space Food Battle or something like that. Whatever. That's really, really good.
Anyway, this is like a beautiful Miyazaki movie, but in comic form and about food.
It's so good. That is it for our image reviews. Now we move over to
Everything else.
And we'll start with Dark Horse, because Dark Horse put out four wonderful comics that I read this week.
Yeah.
The most incredible of these was Black Panther, Age of Doom, issue number 5, written by Jeff Lemire, with art by Dean Ormston and Dave Stewart on colors.
There were multiple times when reading this issue that I had to like hold it open to the canonically lovely Nate and go, look at it, look at this, and then put it down at the end and went, God,
so basically,
I love this comic book.
The rug has been pulled out from our characters and us, the reader, and we now learn the secrets of...
The farm was never real.
Man, I don't want to go too deep into what we learned in this issue because I know a lot of people read this in trade, but this was so satisfying and also, like, I don't know where they go from here.
No! Yeah. No! And it's like, it is this, again, it's like this love letter to superhero comics, and you're like, oh, I've read every single superhero comic. There's nothing a superhero comic could offer to me anymore, but it just keeps getting, like, keeps highlighting different elements of superheroes that I love, but in a totally new and creative way.
Also, I do know where we go from here. We are getting a 2-issue arc starring Colonel Weird, drawn by Rich Tomasso.
Yes. That's where we're going from here.
Just look at that cover.
Come on. Man. Come on.
That's as good
as what are you trying to do to me, Jeff Lemire?
We also get...
Marry me.
In the back matter of all the Dark Horse books this week is... an advertisement for a new Dark Horse comic called Gamma, which
yes,
is written
please.
By Ulysses Farinas and Eric Freitas, with a new artist called Melody Offen, who I've never heard of before, but it's like apparently combining Pokemon and Power Rangers.
I'm into it.
I tried reading a Power Rangers book again this week. I got to stop doing it. I just don't understand. Because the art teams on the Boom Power Rangers books are so good.
Yeah.
Now look at this. I'll talk about it quickly here. Boom this week put out Go-Go Power Rangers Back to School number 1.
That sounds great.
Yep, but the art on it...
Sounds like Valiant High.
It was all written by Marguerite Bennett, who I like.
Yes.
And then there's like... So you've got some amazing Derek Charm.
Yes.
So basically it's a bunch of short stories. I might take this home and try and read it this week. But like, so great Derek Charm. But then also like this character, artist called Zhao Tong Kong, who does the Yellow Ranger story. And look how gorgeous the artwork is.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yes, look, if you...
I don't know how to draw a beautiful horse.
Let's all try and read this week. And maybe if I don't understand it, people can explain it to me.
Let's all try and read this.
Go-Go Power Rangers, Back to School number 1. I'll do a bonus number 1 next week. I haven't even looked at what's going out next week. I assume it's fucking way too many books again. But Black Hammer, Age of Doom, like, I don't think comics get more enjoyable than this for me. Like, it's what I wish all comics were as good as.
Absolutely. I don't understand how Jeff Lemire writes so many good comics.
In this universe, I hope it just exists forever.
Forever.
This is like, you know, I know you wrongly compared another book to Astro City earlier, but this actually is like his take on Astro City.
But better, I assume.
Definitely. Aether, the Copper Golems, issue number 5, written by Matt Kent with David Rubin on art. We got the final issue of this one, in which a man is kind of like, he travels from Earth to the Aether, which is a land of magic. And he can do things in the Aether that everyone in the Aether can't. And it's kind of his duty to kind of like bring order to certain elements of the Aether.
But whenever he's
Whenever he's in the Aether, though, his time, Earth time goes faster. So whenever each time he comes back,
he's been away for years and years.
Yeah.
And he always has to come back from the Aether because he can't eat Aether food. He has to come back to eat.
And this story was like just kind of like a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Until the end, which is like the biggest gut punch ever.
Yes.
Which comes out of nowhere and sets up the next mini series for this series.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's real tragic though the way this ended, because this is like a mostly comedic five issue mini series.
But you know what I really like? I really like the angle of the daughter who is sad that her dad is going away and she knows she'll probably never see him again, but she understands and she supports him for doing it.
Yeah.
You never get that. It's always like, how could you leave us? Blah, blah, blah.
Well, we didn't get that in that Black Hammer Dr. Star book at all.
So I just think it's a really, like, it's heartbreaking. It's really heart-wrenching every single time you see her getting older and older and things are worse and worse for their family. But man, it is just.
And not only does she understand, so but she also wants to do all she can to make it better for him.
Yes,
to do
she's
his job.
Devoted her life.
Yeah. So good.
Come on.
So one of my most anticipated books is the next miniseries of Aether.
Absolutely.
So good.
So good.
We got issue number 6 of 7 of Osagi Yojimbo, The Hidden, this week, written and drawn by Stan Sakai. And this was really good.
Really good. Really good.
Basically, this is all about the introduction of Christianity to feudal Japan and by way of a Christian Bible that has been translated into kata.
Japanese.
Guess. Yeah, sure, that works. it's obviously Christianity's been outlawed during this time by a penalty of death, and it's really great seeing Usagi's kind of like values challenged by the police chief, who doesn't think anyone should be judged by their beliefs, but not. Not killed because of them.
Judged by their actions not their beliefs.
That's right. You're right. That's better.
I love this. This is so gorgeous.
So good. This is like your introduction to your
psychology. I know. I feel like it's a really good one.
Yeah,
I know this is much more of a like traditional detective story than the comic usually is, but this is a really great jumping on point for people who haven't read Usagi before, and it's going to be such a perfect little 7-issue arc.
Yeah, definitely. And it looks wonderful. Sensei is such a good cartoonist. I love angry Usagi Yojimbo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he's mad, it's like my favorite.
So good.
And finally, from Dark Horse, I read Terminator Sector War, written by Brian Wood, with art by Jeff Stokely, set in 1984. This sees a female cop chased by a Terminator because she spawns someone that fucks up the future.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's just a nonstop action. Basically, like, yeah. Like
good?
It's so good.
Okay.
Like, Terminator, the Terminator is, like, driving, like, a massive, heavy pickup truck.
Cool.
Chasing down this cop and like crashing into a nightclub trying to get her, and she has to enlist the help of a local of like the crime lords, basically.
Great.
Because they're the only ones with the weaponry that can help her take this Terminator down.
Cool.
It's really fun. It's so simple and good, and it's what this kind of story should be.
Yeah, good fun.
There's no like crappy time travel element to it. That's what ruins the Terminator movies, when they like try and I get he comes back in time. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, anyway. Enjoyable issue.
Yeah, cool.
So we're going to end the episode quickly, on Strangers in Paradise. Before we get there.
All right. I keep trying to sell people on this book. And to be honest, if I haven't sold you on it already, I'm probably never going to do it. But does the idea of a detective in ancient Rome appeal to you? No? Then look elsewhere.
For the last time, Siobhan.
So this is Britannia, written by Peter Milligan, with art by Robert Gill and Juan Castro and Brian Thies. Also colors by Jose Villarubia and Andrew Dollhouse. And this is the detective story set towards the end of Nero's reign, with there's this one guy who was taken in by the Vestal Virgins and taught how to be the first ever detective, but they call him a detectioner, which is kind of lame. But him and a female gladiator, who is from the previous story arc, are trying to find the big golden eagles that were the standards of Rome that have been lost. And that's a bad omen, guys. You gotta find them. Otherwise, Nero's reign is over. And it's all kinds of sort of political machinations, as well as just some cool fighting. And now they're in Egypt, guys. I like it. It's silly and goofy, and the only other person I know who likes it is Jim. So it's a bit of a, clearly it's a bit of an old nerd style comic, but I really enjoy it.
Fantastic. A book that we both enjoy, and Jim too.
Yes.
One of his favorites is Strangers in Paradise. And Terry Moore, the creator, artist, and writer of Strangers in Paradise, has brought it back for the 15th edition, 15th volume. 25th? Oh, shit, yeah. I do not remember.
Because it's also 25 years since the series first came out.
Wow. Maybe if I read Britannia, I'd know more about Roman numerals.
Look, I'm not saying that's why you should read it, but it might help.
So, yeah, we're 25 years, 25 volumes in of this excellent series. And basically, we see our two characters, main characters in this book, Kachu and...
Francine.
They now have kids. And Kachu has had to go off on a mission because this is actually a really crazy, like, spy action book posing as a romance book. Or vice versa.
Yes.
It's all about, like, these, like, papyrus scrolls that belong to Cleopatra.
That Cleopatra wrote, which introduces a kind of mathematics that is then used to make crazy nuclear weapons.
Yeah. And man, it is such an incredible ride.
Man,
there were a lot of excellent comics this week, and this was definitely one of my tops.
This was such a why is Terry Moore the best? Read this issue.
Yes.
Terry Moore's the flippin' best. The panels where Kachu realizes that her former Parker girls colleagues are outside her house and threatening her wife and her children. Like the sort of extreme rage that he's able to convey, especially in that double page spread where it just says "kill Stephanie" and then she's still driving down the bottom.
One of the best double page spreads I've ever seen.
Absolutely, like Terry Moore is just the man, and he's been writing these characters for so well that they really feel real. Like Francine's real. I felt really sad about the stuff with her mum.
Yes, totally. Yeah, I mean both plot lines are as engrossing.
Yeah. Yeah. How?
Yeah, I know, right?
Man.
It's like, yeah, you have this incredible spy thriller going on, and then you have Francine handing her mother a leaflet for Grandparents' Day next year. At a children's school.
Being like, you can't die yet.
Those two things are equal.
Yes.
And the book treats them as so.
And while this is something that will read incredibly in trade...
Like, incredibly, yeah.
Terry Moore also... uses the format to the ultimate, to its utmost.
Yep.
Every single issue has the most intense cliffhanger. Like, literally in this issue.
This is a literal
cliffhanger.
Well, she's jumping.
I mean, she's not hanging.
She's jumped off a cliff. It's a cliff jumper. You're right.
Man, great though.
So good.
Love it, love it, love it. I love their kids.
Yeah,
I love it.
So good. I love how one of them looks like Kachu, the other one looks like Francine. Yeah. And like, the other one's responsible and the other one's a wild.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Oh, you should all read Strangers in Paradise.
Yeah.
And Go-Go Power Rangers Back to School. So that was it. That was a really fun episode, Siobhan. Well done.
Thank you.
Hopefully we get lots more dongs next week. I forgot to look at what's coming out, but I know it's something I'm not looking forward to that much. Oh, no, I am looking forward to it. Not to read it, but to hearing what you think the
new Tom King series. Thing? Heroes in Crisis.
Apparently heaps of characters are going to die.
Oh,
and
good.
And Booster Gold plays a really large part in it, and he cannot write that
character
at all.
I love how he writes Booster Gold.
Yeah, so that's coming out next week alongside many other books.
Great, great.
Man-Eaters is coming out. Chelsea Kane.
I am excited about that.
You should support Chelsea Kane.
To your local comic book store. Pick it up.
She's had a shit run recently.
Absolutely.
And she's like one of our favorite creators, even though she's done so few comics.
Yeah.
But
Marvel are just big dicks to her.
This would be
a really great time for DC to jump on and offer her a book.
Very good point. That would win them a lot of brownie points in my eyes.
Absolutely.
Get Man-Eaters by Chelsea Kane's coming out through Image this week. It's apparently like a horror comedy for like... That like teenage girls can read.
Yes, please.
About like women's periods turning them into literal monsters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds so fun. I feel like not enough comics talk about periods. I feel like I've mentioned that before.
But everyone, just give it a shot.
Man, yeah, come on.
Number one. Let's all read it together.
Absolutely.
I feel like we very, very rarely band behind a book in advance, but I love Chelsea Kane.
Yeah.
Let's all give it a shot.
Absolutely.
Man, it is number one. Go buy it.
Let's do it.
Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/seriousissuespodcast or on Twitter at serious_issues. And
or send us an email, seriousissues@kingscomics.com. Shout out to Daniel. Thanks for the email this week.
For telling us we were wrong.
I love it. My favorite kind of email.
And she doesn't forward it to me. I love that too. And we're individually at Siobhan CBG and at LevDog on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening and we will see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, man eaters.
Nice.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.